Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Every Wednesday night at this very time, 9 p.m. to half nine, it is the Bristol City takeover, the Robins takeover. And what a time to have one, because it is three successive wins in the Championship now. Oh, and hold on, three clean sheets as well, which is just as important. Maybe Bristol City peaking at the right time after they was having a little rocky patch, a little blip, but not anymore. Well, it is the Bristol City fan show, and it is your show, which means time for you to have your say tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. But to get an insight into what is going on and this upturn in form, I am joined by Paul Binning, the exiled Robin. Paul, on this current form, mate, you're exiled no longer because we just can't get enough of you. What is going on?
Yeah, well, I like that intro, by the way. I haven't heard that song for quite a while. Used to be a regular down at Ashton Gate.
We're bringing it back, mate. This is the start. This is the movement.
Yeah.
It all starts at Love Sport Radio.
I think there's a couple of factors, I think. I think we conceded a few goals in a couple of games over Christmas, and it does look like we've tried to just solidify a bit. We've tweaked formation, maybe gone a little bit more defensive. We've had a consistent midfield in the last two or three games, which helps with Corey Smith in there protecting the back four a little bit. But I think also that what we've had in the last couple of games is a settled back four, and we haven't really had that for a lot of the season. And Nathan Baker's in great form. Ashley Williams has come back in from a game suspension and looked like the rest helped him. The game off actually helped him, and he had a little break. And I think a big factor as well is Jada Silva back in. He's missed most of the season of injury. He played a couple of games sort of in and around Christmas and was obviously a little bit rusty. But I think suddenly you've got a back four there which is looking a lot more solid. It sounds really obvious to say, but if you keep a clean sheet, you've got a decent chance of winning a game. So, yeah, and we've managed to nick that goal or two in each of the last three.
Well, maybe why we're seeing the clean sheets is because of the foundation, you know, the rock bed at the back, and it's working now, you know. It just seems to be falling into place for Bristol City, Paul. And it's interesting, look, we all do it, don't we, as fans? When we go three or four games without a win, we do the classic old finger pointing, you know, is it the coaches, is it the staff, the injuries, suspensions, the players, the tactics. And then when we do three successive wins like this, we go, well, you know, it's just great. And, you know, we're back in the playoffs and everything's rosy. There's a balance somewhere, you know. It's never too high, it's never too low.
Yeah.
But there has been something fanned here at the minute. Maybe if we can bottle it, we're not quite sure it is. How do they sustain it, Bristol City?
I think what we've found
actually,
this is away from home. Certainly, this is how we've actually played for the last 2 years. I think what we found parts of this season was we'd lost a bit of that solidity. I think we spent half a season getting used to Marlon Pack not being there. He's been pretty much ever present for us for five, six seasons, sitting in front of the defence, always an option for the defenders to pass out to, always shielding that back four. He had height as well, which I think helps, you know, in that sort of holding role. And I think we've taken a bit of getting used to it. And we've had various players go in there. I mean, you know, Brownhill's played defensively, Corey Smith's been injured, Adam Narge has been in and out of the team of injury, Masengo's played a bit. So we've been a bit more settled the last few games. We've been a bit more regular as a team. Obviously, it's easier to keep a winning team when you're winning, isn't it? But we've just been a bit more settled. We had a big, nice break before the Reading game. Yeah, we had a 10-day break because we didn't have a cup game at the weekend. So I think that helped as well. And I think generally just what you saw last night was, and you know, I don't know if I can come on and talk about this, but there was a remarkable sort of triple, quadruple clearance off and blocks off
it,
the line.
It was unbelievable.
10 minutes to go. And I think that just shows the never say die fighting spirit of the team, and any sort of whispers that there might have been about the dressing room not being behind Lee Johnson. I think that's one thing you can't accuse this team of. I think there's a dedication, a commitment there, and they might fall short sometimes, but they're certainly not for the lack of trying.
Yeah, well, there was a couple of things in what you've just said there, Paul. One of them, obviously, Lee Johnson mentioned last night that the crowd were making blocks themselves. If he could have come on and made a couple of sliding tackles, he would have. And that was what we saw right at the end. The desire, you know, the grit to get that 3 points over, you know. That's what we're seeing in these performances. Classic, gritty, old-style 1-0 wins. But also, what maybe was an advantage for Bristol City, you almost had a winter break of your own of sorts. We know that the Premier League clubs are going through that in a minute. But you did play a Reading side, and we spoke about this last week, how maybe they played twice since Bristol City last played, and maybe towards the end, tired legs for them a little bit.
Yeah, possibly. I think the break probably helped us more than the effect on Reading, to be honest. I saw a stat last night that Brentford and Reading made 20 changes between them for the cup game of the weekend, and both lost at home last night. So it doesn't always work like that. So they had a fairly fresh team as well, I think. But I think that, you know, a couple of times now, Lee Johnson's in January been able to give the players 3 or 4 days off. They've gone away, you know, done a bit of their families. You know, we don't get that time over Christmas, and we do just look a little bit more together. And yeah, there seems to be a bit more of a buzz around again. And again, you know, that comes when you're winning. Of course, it does. It's hard to keep your mojo up when you're not winning and you're struggling. But it just seems to be another, you know, as I say, a togetherness back in the team, and as I say, a real commitment and desire to keep that clean sheet primarily and you know, as I say, hope to grab a goal at the other end.
Yeah, well, it's certainly proving the way, honestly. Even the difference in the show, we're worrying there was, you know, the rocky patch of form, and now we're talking about three successive wins. It's how quickly it can change in this league. We know it's a cliche, but it is so true, and you spoke of it there. Reading nearly snatched it, but this is proving the difference, because where some games, I know Forest beat Brentford last night, which was a game that had massive implications, obviously, where Bristol City are concerned as well, but where some teams in and around those playoffs, Paul, you know, just those are the games that where it makes the difference at the end of the season where, oh, you know what, we dropped 2 points here, we only got a point. But you're picking up wins in these gritty 1-0 wins, and this could make a difference towards the end of the season, the business end.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, we've drawn quite a few games, you know, here and there, and, you know, to get those wins obviously makes such a massive difference. You know, and what we've done is, you know, Reading a bit more mid-table, but we've picked off the lower teams in the last few weeks, and that's something we've not always done in the last couple of years. That's really important. You know, if you're with great respect to them, but if you're playing the likes of Luton and Barnsley down at the bottom of the league struggling, you've got to be looking for 3 points, you know, against those teams if you're going to challenge, and we've done that very well. Got a tougher run coming up, and that, you know, it'll be interesting to see how we cope with that and what reinforcements we can obviously bring in the next few days. But yeah, QPR on Saturday should be a good one. We drew 3-3 there in a cup at the start of the season, and we've both got a pretty leaky defence at times, despite our recent clean sheet. So it could be a bit of a goal fest on Saturday.
Yeah, and you beat them, obviously, earlier in the league. I remember that game very much so. That was really early on then when the season had just started. But we have to just keep in the focus on the Reading game last night, watching it back, Paul, obviously. Want to talk about the involvement and the impact that Jamie Patterson's having at the minute, because he's only recently come back. He was at Derby, and has second goal in as many games as well. It's just been a brilliant addition, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. I think, you know, I think it's a culmination of factors. I think he's obviously got a point to prove. I think he's gone away. Again, he hasn't actually played that often for Derby, so he's probably quite fresh. He hasn't got the tiredness in his legs that others have. But I mean, one thing I sort of noted last night on Twitter was he offers us something in our midfield that none of our other midfielders do, in the way that he breaks beyond the line of a striker. He gets on those runs. And if you look at the goal last night, we've probably done, the ball came up to Fanaradiju, he sort of held off a defender, it got through to Nicholas Eliasson. We've probably done that 25 times this season, but with no one's breaking beyond Diju, Eliasson has to turn back and play it inside. Whereas last night, he had a runner, Patterson's bursting through, he had a ball to play, and you know, that's what got us the goal. And I think that option, that difference in style, not necessarily ability or, you know, whatever, but just difference in style makes a massive difference to us. And he is come back firing, he's come back, let's say, with a bit of fire in his belly, and he's looking a really good option for us right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he's come back. There's been a few rumours in the last day or so, because now we draw to the closing stages of this January transfer window, the winter window, that maybe Ashley Williams could be on his way. He's obviously a veteran, but there's a few teams, he's out of contract in the summer, that a few teams could be interested in from abroad. What are you making of this? Because he's not the youngest, but, you know, what he brings in leadership and experience, and as we're talking about this running in the Championship, vital player.
He has been, and I think, you know, I think as long as it's a summer, which is, you know, as far as I can tell it is, I'm not entirely surprised, to be honest. I think we we lost Adam Webster just before the transfer deadline day in August. We were suddenly short on the centre-backs with a couple of injuries then to Callas and Baker, so we had to sign someone. He was the best of the lot available and has done a great job for us. But is that the person you want to be, you know, leading your defence next year when he's 36 and another year in? Probably not. And, you know, given another 6 months to find the right man and the right target, I think it probably makes sense to release him and what is probably a sizeable wage as well from the club and find someone who's, you know, has got 10 years on him and has got the ability to be at the club for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, and obviously because there is less than 48 hours left now, can we expect anything? Paul, have you heard any whispers, any rumours?
Well, the main one is all around the striker. There's quite a lot of reports that might be where you've agreed a fee for Naki Wells, which would be a great signing, exactly what we need up front, another option, a goal scorer, someone to come on and make a difference. I think that's the one we've been linked with most and hanging on for since Eddie Nketiah stayed at Arsenal. So fingers crossed we can get that over the line. It'd be quite a nice touch if we signed him and he managed to score the winner at QPR on Saturday, having spent 6 months of the season with them, of course, on loan. But yeah, that seems to be the main one. I think the other question for us is whether we can hang on to Josh Brownhill, which has been a couple of links for him actually going the other way to Burnley. And whether he probably will go in the summer one way or another, unless we go up. And it's just whether we can hang on to him for the next 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You don't want to lose any players in this window. I know if Bristol City get a huge bid, then they may part ways. But yeah. Burnley, their Premier League status isn't, you know, concrete at the minute. They wouldn't sell, surely, with 2 days to go, would they, Paul?
Unless there was a very, very good deal and probably even a player swap, you know, there's been a little bit of talk of other players from Burnley being involved, and you just wonder whether John, you know, I can't see it. I just wonder whether Lee Johnson might just feel he's well covered in midfield, despite Brownhill being, again, a bit of a different player to most. And actually, if he could get a centre-half and a centre-forward out of that money to bolster the squad in areas it might be needed, it might just be considered. But no, I think realistically, it's unlikely. He played last night, he was captain last night. As far as I know, he got back on the coach and didn't get in his car and go to the M6. But I think it would be unlikely and unusual. But I mean, I say, but certainly in the summer, if we don't go up, I think he'll be on his way.
Yeah, Paul, that's the diehard fan that I love. I can just imagine. You know, we do this, don't we, with transfer news? We're checking players' flights. Where are they coming into? Checking their social media. We're checking his sat nav to make sure he wasn't heading off in any direction.
Have they been to the coffee shop this morning? We always go to. Yeah, absolutely.
I love it, Paul. Always a pleasure to have you on the show and chat with you. Please make sure you check out Paul at the Exiled Robins. Really a big part of this show and so much going on with Bristol City in a minute. 3 successive wins in the Championship and 3 clean sheets. Aren't we just loving life? Have your Robin say tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 028 7020 558. Well, it's the Bristol City Fan Show. One guest is not good enough for this show. Guess what? We've got another one up next.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Bristol City Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. What a show we're having so far. Just joined by Paul Binning, the exiled Robin there, talking all of the brilliant form Bristol City are in right now. 3 successive wins in the Championship. Well, the rocky patch, the blip, the slump is no more. It's about what's going on as we move on to the home stretch, the business end of the season. And a man who knows more than me, it is Stanley Hughes from One Stream in Bristol. Stanley, I've got to be honest, I was watching the game last night and, you know, I'm enjoying it. I'm hoping for a Bristol win, but I'm watching it and thinking, Stanley's there tonight and we, you know, we've got to pray for him. We've got to think of him because Reading, it's no easy away trip, mate. Not many people can do it. How was it?
Yeah, it was great, to be fair. Now I know you're watching, it makes me even more glad. Were you sat with, you know, a meal for one, some candles, watching the TV, hoping my face would come up on it, were you, Charlie? It was lovely, to be honest. I think I mentioned it last week that, you know, Reading isn't the greatest away day in the country. No offence to any Reading fans, who probably aren't listening anyway. But the fact it was a night game, it means you can sort of get in, get out. And I quite like these 1-0 away wins. I think we got quite a few of them last season. I want to say maybe we've got 6 now in the last 2 seasons under Lee Johnson. There's something quite nice about it, sort of getting a goal in a game that could go either way and then defending sort of, you know, really, really well and then lots of clearances, blocks. And it was an enjoyable day and an enjoyable evening. That's certain to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the last 2 wins have been 1-0 wins. A clean sheet, 3 points. You can't really ask for much more than that, but it is 3 successive wins. Lee Johnson was quick to mention the fans after you were there. It, you know, really took a big, big following to the Medeski. What was it like, and what was it like at the end? Because I mean, as the kids say, I'm sure that there was a few limbs.
A few limbs, yeah, there were. Wherever I go, there's limbs. You know, I'm not one of these people that overzealously pushes over anyone in my sort of vicinity. But yeah, I do love it. Even though I was doing Dry January, so you know, I got enjoyment in other areas of life.
Reading and Dry January. Poor start to the decade for you.
Yeah, stay away from me during February. That's what I'm saying. It was really good. You got to remember, this game was originally scheduled for last Saturday, so it was gonna. In previous seasons, Bristol City have taken sort of 3,000 away fans. So the fact that it was only, you know, just under 2,000 meant that there were probably fewer fans than would have gone if it wasn't on a weeknight. But yeah, it was good. Reading don't have many fans in Reading, but they're quite sort of put into one specific section, and they make a lot of noise. So there's quite a few sort of, you know, back and forth, and you know, it's shy. Sometimes we get a bit excited after a goal, and there's a few finger pointing in a certain direction. But I'll tell you that off air.
Yeah, please do, because I'm looking forward to that one. But we are past the watershed, so maybe, who knows, we might get away with it. But at the minute, I've just asked Paul there, we're talking to you. Look, you come on the show, you are the Bristol City fan show. We had to talk when the run maybe wasn't going as well. You know, like I said, there was a mini blip of sorts. But what is it now that Bristol City have found? Or is that just the roller coaster that is the Championship? And if we judge the season into sort of three tiers, a beginning, middle and end as such, now that we head into this business end, what have you learnt from the first two tiers, and what can we expect now until the end of the season?
Well, it's quite interesting to Paul talk about the reasons why he, and to be fair, I think most Bristol City fans think we've started to hit form. I think part of it is us sort of going for a solid base. I mean, we're trying to tier the sort of the season up at the start, sort of chunk the season up rather. At the start, we were playing a 3-5-2 mainly. We had a Fobet up front, Casey Parham behind Andrew Fireman, and we weren't conceding many goals. I think having three centre-backs on the pitch and two defensive mids meant that we were sort of, you know, winning games but not conceding too many. With the injury to Afobe, we tried to persist with the 3-5-2 for a little bit, and it wasn't quite working with Jeju or Semenyo. That meant Alarsson got more and more game time, and because of his outrageous number of assists, we started to play sort of a 4-4-2 or a 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1 or whatever ultimate team formation your son plays. And because of that, we started to concede a few more goals and sort of start to have open games. I think that hurt Lee Johnson. Maybe he was a bit fed up of conceding goals unnecessarily at times. And now you're sort of seeing a 4-1-4-1 with big Brickwall Baker and Ashley Williams, the centre-back. So I think at the moment, Lee Johnson, which I think he should do, is sort of going for a sort of a solid, hard-working, dependable team. And that's what's led maybe to our good results recently.
Yeah, well, we're hoping that they bottle that up and sustain it, obviously. Use it as a platform, a foundation to really kick on. Let's talk about QPR now. Obviously, you got the result over them in the reverse fixture. It was 2-0, but they do score a lot of goals. It's going to be a different prospect this time. What are you expecting? And Stanley, I've done my research. I've done my stats just for you, my man. In the head-to-heads, Bristol City have 30 wins. QPR have 33.
That's huge, sorry. That's, you know what, that's completely changed the way I think about
it. You wait
till
my next stat.
Go on, are you going to get to me now, or just like carry on?
I was going to tease you, but now that I've sort of I've G'd it up, I'm going to go for it. Wait, because this may change it even more, Stanley. This is what we do, it's groundbreaking, you know. You can't argue with the facts. It is QPR leading that way with 33 wins, but QPR haven't beaten Bristol City in 7 games dating back to 2016. Mic drop.
Oh God! Careful, that's expensive equipment, Charlie. You know, the Love Sport budget. What am I expecting? I'm expecting to go out to this, first of all. It's quite rare, and not for several years have we been given the lower tier at Loftus Road. So I'm expecting a really loud atmosphere from the away fans, and with the sort of remarks that Lee Johnson said about how we were sort of defending with them, and we were an extra defender. I think, you know, hopefully the fans can play a part on Saturday. You talk about QPR being a team that scores a lot of goals. You've got to remember they just lost their star striker, Nucky Wells, seemingly a little bit against his will, sort of brought back by parent club Burnley. And can you just imagine the noise in that away end if Nucky Wells is running out with a red shirt or a
no chance.
Well, yeah, presumably a red shirt on Saturday. Bloody hell. Talk about limbs, Charlie. That'll be limbs.
I'll be in there if that happens. Can you imagine? We're talking on a Wednesday night now. Naki Wells, QPR, have asked to get him back. He wanted to stay. Burnley recall him. Then he signs for Bristol City and plays on a weekend and possibly, as the professional he is, scores a winner. This is...
I'm excited. And also, you know what? I'll give you... I don't know if we advocate betting, so this is... You know, this isn't
please bet responsibly. Yeah.
Exactly. Or don't bet at all. I'll give you 4-1 odds on him scoring the winner and running the length of the pitch and impersonating Emmanuel Adebayor.
if that's what the bet is, and you're giving me 4-1, no chance. If you're giving me 200-1, I may be having a little dabble on it, but otherwise, certainly not. I mean, there's no chance. I don't even think he signs for Bristol City. But Paul mentioned it. You're mentioning it as well. Bristol City.
Oh, it's legit, mate. So I'll tell you what. So you know, I've got a little fact for you, mate. So according to mine and Paul's, obviously similar sources, the local
ITK,
journalist,
ITK.
And some of the journalists in the sort of Burnley area, wherever that is, I'm not actually too sure. My geography's not a strong point.
We've agreed
a fee with Burnley for Naki Wells, and these guys have blue ticks, Charlie. So they're no mugs. The interesting point I think is whether we can fit him into our wage structure. You know, Steve Lansdowne, the chairman and the board, are notorious for having sort of stringent stipulations when signings come in. This sort of goes against the grain of our recruitment policy. He's not exactly a young striker. He's not exactly going to be cheap when it comes to wages. But I think in the past, you know, I remember there was a season where we needed to stay up, and we brought in Lee Tomlin in the summer for big wages, and we could manage that. So I think it's manageable, and it's how much the board wants it. It's how much they're going to listen to Lee Johnson when he's asking for ambition in regards to our transfer dealings. But to be honest, I think it could happen, mate. And I'll be giving you a text at 2 p.m. if he's announced in the starting lineup.
Well, listen, if you know this information from a guy with a blue tick, I'm more than happy for you to give me a message on WhatsApp and I can write back and get 2 blue ticks. And then, who knows, we're just rolling and rolling in. Unbelievable stuff. QPR on the weekend, Stanley. What is your score prediction?
Score prediction, I'm going to go with a 2-0 Bristol City win. Don't care, scores the first one, and Sir Naki Wells with the second. And I'll give you a fact just to end the show. No player with double figures in the Championship has a better goals per minute ratio than our new signing, Naki Wells, or soon to be new signing, Naki
How
Wells.
Confident are you, just quickly on this, Stanley? Because honestly, Bristol City is right now at the top of my fan show rankings, just for the amount of laughs we have on this show. But seriously, on a genuine level, what is the percentage that Naki Wells, we could see him become a Robin before the window closes?
Before the window closes, I'd say pretty high with how it's going. The way it's been announced sort of publicly that we've agreed a fee, I'd go on, I'll go 85%, Charlie. The big thing is wages.
Yeah.
But I think the fact is we've been after him for so long, surely we would have sort of got the gist by now that he was out of our wage structure. So I'd say 85%. I think it could happen. It's interesting, like Paul said, Will Brownhill go the other way? That's a big issue because Burnley have been sniffing around him recently.
Well, I got a text from Paul actually, and he said he's more than happy to come on with you and we could maybe throw it together, do a little panel. So I don't know how you feel about that, but I may need a long sit down afterwards. To have you both on at the same time, I'll definitely be manned, that's for sure. But is Naki Wells the signing then to keep Bristol City in the playoffs and ultimately get to the promised land?
That's way beyond my pay grade, really. I just sort of slate the club and claim they're not good enough. I like the look of him, to be honest. I like the club's policy personally of buying young players from abroad and growing our own players, so to speak. But I think, you know, this is the sort of striker that Lee Johnson's been after. He got this sort of striker with a faux bay, and due to sort of, you know, unfortunate circumstances, he was lost. And I think Naki Wells could really take us over the line. And I know I'm an optimist, Charlie. We're only 6 points off top two. Just saying.
Do you think that there's a potential? Because West Brom, and they lost to Cardiff. Leeds had to come back against Millwall. Are you saying that, you know, this is still open?
We've gained 10 points on West Brom in our last 5 league games.
Well, so have Barnsley. Everyone has. They've only had one win in 9.
All right, well, how much money are you putting on Barnsley going up then?
I'm putting the money on them to stay. Oh, Stanley, always you give as good as you get, and I absolutely love it. I wish, I truly mean this, saying it on air, I wish we had longer. The Bristol City fan show, far too short. I look forward to speaking to you all week. Look out for those two blue ticks. Stanley Hughes there from One Stream in Bristol. Always good to get him on. Ample on, who knows, we may do a panel, have them both on and see what they're saying as Bristol City, they head into this home stretch. The important business end of the season. What a show we had for you there, Bristol City. But remember, you can always have your say as the Robins play us out. Look at that music. Come on, join us. It's warm here. It's fuzzy. It's brilliant. It's a brilliant show. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Call us 0208 7020558. Bristol City every Wednesday, 9 to half 9.
There'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Wake up, you sleepyhead.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.